Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. I'm reading from the 6th chapter of Matthew. This is a very familiar text. It's part of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. So, as is often the invitation, let us listen to these familiar words with new ears. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, it's great to see you all here today. You know what we call this Sunday in church circles, don't you? Low Sunday. It's after Easter. You know, we have the big crowd on Easter, and then the next Sunday you're saying, where is everybody? But you know, we've got a pretty good turnout. I think our worship ministry decided that Low Sunday would be a good Sunday to have the Kirkin of the Tartans. So we could have a great celebration the week after Easter. So it's good to see everybody here. You know, this week has been kind of a convergence of several things that I'm gonna try to pull together here this morning. So if I get off on a couple of rabbit trails, trust that I'm gonna try to bring them back. Okay. The convergence this week has been Easter, of course, and the beginning of the Easter season. And Yesterday, we celebrated Earth Day, an important day in the life of the world as we celebrate the planet on which we live. And we're also this week having the Kirkin of the Tartans, in which we celebrate our heritage, as well as our heritage that is grounded in some very earthy theology. And the other thing that came together this week was I had a birthday. You know, and whenever you have a birthday, you always start thinking about life a little bit more, and you appreciate it a little bit more. Because, you know, it's just nice to have another birthday. Right? I think even Presbyterians would say amen on that, right? Yeah. Okay, so early this morning, I was just sort of sitting out on the patio and just listening to the sounds of nature, listening to the birds, listening to some squirrels scurrying in an oak tree. And then I heard our dog Wilson starting to whine a little bit. And he was looking out in the dark, and there was just enough light to see a possum walking across the top of the fence. Just sitting there in the early morning light, enjoying nature. I often think that Jesus spent a lot of time outside. I mean, the gospel stories tell us this, because most of his teaching, it seems, was either in the synagogue or outside somewhere on a hillside or on the lake shore or even from a boat. He spent a lot of time outside, and a lot of his stories, a lot of his parables are about nature. Jesus had an appreciation for our good creation. And he used creation in his parables to teach the good news of the gospel, which was so intertwined that sometimes it's hard to even keep them apart. And perhaps we discover that they aren't. That when we try to separate the natural world from our spiritual lives, it's artificial. And I think that's one of the things that our Celtic heritage gives to us. It brings this back to us. It reminds us that as we read Scripture, as we did this morning, as we read that 8th Psalm, that the entire universe sings praises, that God's presence is throughout the entire universe. The church doesn't have a monopoly on God's presence. We don't have to go to church to experience God, because God is with us all the time and in us and throughout all of creation. And our scriptures tell us that this creation is good. As a matter of fact, in one of the creation stories in the book of Genesis, it ends with God saying, it was good, it was very good. And the gift of the Celts to us is an appreciation of God's goodness and God's presence throughout creation. And that we experience God in so many ways. But in so many ways, we've abandoned that. And I'm going to give us just a little bit of a history lesson here. And I'm going to talk about a church heretic. For those of you who know me and get to know me better, you know that I have a fondness for heretics. I've even been called one. There was a Celtic theologian, a Celtic church leader in the very early years of the church, and his name was Pelagius. Anybody ever heard of Pelagius? See, you never even heard of him. Pelagius understood, and it comes from his Celtic nature, Pelagius really understood this fundamental goodness of creation and God's presence in creation. And it permeated his theology. But this was in stark contrast to a much more rational approach to this that really comes to us through St. Augustine. And Augustine's experience was that the natural world and people naturally were not good. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of original sin? The doctrine of total depravity? If you ever went to confirmation class, you heard it. So you had these two elements in early Christianity, this is in the fourth century, that are being debated and battled. And guess who won? St. Augustine in the Western world. We must always add in the Western world because we forget Christianity developed in the Eastern world, in the Southern Hemisphere. And there are many different approaches to the way we understand the gospel of Christ around the world. But in the Western world, we followed St. Augustine. And we latched on to this whole idea of original sin, of total depravity. And we began to separate spirituality and the natural world. Even our own bodies were seen as not good. But the Celts never let that go. The Celts were out on the edges of the Roman Empire, the Roman Church, and they held on to that idea of fundamental goodness of creation and the presence of God throughout creation. Now, it didn't mean that we were all good and everything was okay and we look at the world through rose-colored glasses. No, we still have free choice. We still make bad decisions. We still need the grace of God and we still need the presence of Christ to show us how to live. But this basic understanding that to be fully human is to really know the presence of God. These are some Celtic understandings that are part of our heritage, but have been tamped down at times, and at other times even beaten down. So today is a day to remember this. There is a resurgence in the Western church today of a reexamination of Pelagius, an acceptance of Pelagius, and most of it is coming out of the Celtic world. A lot of your liturgy this morning comes from a Celtic writer and theologian, John Philip Newell, who is one of the pioneers in this movement. And so we are here today to celebrate this inherent, fundamental goodness of creation, which also means us. And that we are called to remember who we are. Because through our bad choices and through so many different diversions, we have forgotten that we are good and made in God's image. I wrote a blog a couple of weeks ago. And the title of my blog was, It's Our Job. Okay? And I put together a couple of things. Primarily, some of these ideas I've just presented to you. But the story of creation in Genesis, where creation is good. But also, part of that story, as we read that story, creation is actually an expression of God. If you read the story in the first chapter of Genesis, God speaks creation into existence. God said, let there be, and there was. Creation comes from God and is an expression of God, and God is present everywhere. Now hold on to that just for a minute and go back to and let's go to our catechisms of the church. The first question of the catechism is what? Anybody remember it? Yeah. What is the chief, we'll use the old language of that time. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. Now I want to bring these two ideas together. If God is present throughout creation, if creation is an expression of God, and we are to glorify God and enjoy God forever, we are to glorify and enjoy this amazing place where we live. And the amazing existence of ourselves and each other. And also in that story of Genesis, humanity was created to care for creation. And that's where the title of the blog comes in. It's our job. Our first, foremost, and fundamental reason for existing is to take care of this expression of God that is all around us and in us. I want to read something to you here from another Celt, John O'Donohue, poet and philosopher. This is from his book, Anam Cara. He says, it's a strange and wonderful fact to be here, walking around in a body, to have a whole world within you and a world at your fingertips outside you. It is an immense privilege, and it is incredible that humans manage to forget the miracle of being here. Rilke said, being here is so much. And it is uncanny how social reality can deaden and numb us so that the mystical wonder of our lives goes totally unnoticed. We are here. We are wildly and dangerously free. This is the gift of the Celts, to enjoy this amazing creation. And I want to close with just one more piece. And I heard this on the radio driving to church this morning. So I had to find it on the internet and print it out just to share a little bit with you. How many of you have ever heard of Cassini? Cassini is a satellite that was launched from the Earth in 1997. And its final destination was the planet Saturn. This September, Cassini will finally crash into the surface of Saturn after being drawn in by its gravity. But on its way to Saturn, Cassini has sent us some of the most amazing information and photographs. This week begins the descent to Saturn. That's why it's in the news. And it will go through, has already begun to go through the rings of Saturn, and will change course 22 times, caused by gravity from moons and rings. It will change course 22 times before it finally hits the surface of Saturn. And in the meantime, it's sending us pictures. And I want to read what the crew that's been managing this project now since 1997. Wouldn't you like to have that job? Watching Cassini in space and managing this. And so, I just this one paragraph here. Nothing Cassini has done or found so far has moved the markets back here on Earth. It moved only our souls, our minds, and our imaginations. It made us freer and bigger by showing how little we know and how much more room there is to expand our thoughts and dreams, how little of nature's repertoire we have even guessed at. And on July 19, 2013, about 4 years ago, we all smiled as Cassini took a long-range portrait of Earth. The Earth popped up again, peeking through the rings like an eager child looking through the blinds. That's us. A tiny, tiny blue dot below the ring. A little world of hustlers and dreamers. That's us. That's what the 8th Psalm is saying to us. That's what Jesus is telling to us when he says, don't worry. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look at the grass. Look at Saturn. Look back at the earth itself. Don't worry. I would say the Celts have given us a pretty good gift. One that we are called to hold, to nurture, and to carry on. Amen. Our charge and benediction this morning come again from Irish poet and philosopher John O'Donohue. Like the joy of the sea coming home to shore, may the relief of laughter rise through your soul. As the wind loves to call things to dance, May your gravity be lightened by grace. Like the dignity of moonlight restoring the earth, may your thoughts incline with reverence and respect. As water takes whatever shape it is in, so free may you be about who you become. As silence smiles on the other side of what's said, may your sense of irony bring perspective. As time remains free of all that it frames, may your mind stay clear of all it names. May your prayer of listening deepen enough to hear in the depths the laughter of God. Amen.